The Oregon Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence is a nonprofit group devoted to promoting equity and social change in order to end violence in all communities. The coalition organizes a multitude of local member organizations that do direct action work with those impacted by domestic and sexual violence. Supporting survivors of domestic and sexual violence has an added challenge thanks to the socially distanced world of coronavirus. Indeed, several cities in Oregon have seen spikes in their number of domestic violence or DV-related calls. I spoke with Renee Kim, the Equity and Access Coordinator for the Oregon Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence, to learn more about how the coalition's work has changed during the pandemic, the opportunities for growth exposed by coronavirus, and radical self-care. So, you work as the Equity and Access Coordinator for the Oregon Coalition Against Domestic Violence. Can you tell me a little bit about what your work looked like outside of the pandemic context?
Yes. So, the Oregon Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence is an organization that provides technical assistance and support to all of our statewide domestic violence and sexual assault programs. We conduct a ton of training. We have an annual conference, and we also do specific roundtables and webinars for our member programs and community partners. We also convene numerous caucuses and work groups, and we also work with policymakers doing legislative work and support for survivors' needs around the state.
And so how is that work, either, you know, specifically what you do or with the organizations that you work with, how has that work changed due to COVID-19?
It has changed dramatically because our work is so much in person and with community. And so the first thing that has really changed is we're working remotely, and we are doing a ton of phone calls as well as Zoom and different platforms to reach out to programs. I think that the biggest challenges for domestic violence programs and domestic violence survivors during COVID has been the isolation piece. When you are a survivor of domestic violence, oftentimes you are isolated anyway, away from family and friends and community networks. So sheltering in place and COVID has just compounded that. And I think that the messaging and communities, domestic violence, sexual assault agencies, is really important that they are still open. All of the programs that we support are still open across the state, and there have been a lot of different federal funds that have come down the pipeline to help programs during COVID with cell phones, laptops for advocates that are working with survivors. And some of the more rural programs around the state have continued some in-person services, but it's really changed. It's not walk-in. You have to make appointments, and then the social distancing guidelines as well.
So, you know, looking at the way that you would work to combat domestic violence pre-pandemic and post-pandemic, do you see, like, major differences there? I guess I'm just curious about those differences.
Yeah, I think that as far as combating domestic violence pre and within the COVID realm now, really hasn't changed because all of the programs are still continuing to operate their 24-hour hotlines. There are programs, like I said, all over the state that continue to do support groups as well, even though they may have been canceled. In person, they are still able to do this online and meet with folks through different ways. And I think that the messaging around DV is still that, you know, we are here for you and we are here to advocate for you and to keep you safe.
Yeah, I know for a lot of different, for different advocacy groups, pandemic restrictions have exposed holes in the way that we treat certain issues. And, you know, as such, because like you said, a lot of it is grounded in person. You go to this place and you get help in this way. And not being able to do that has kind of exposed the holes and how that doesn't work for everybody, and also offered, you know, an opportunity to, for growth and for new thinking. Do you see that, the pandemic has offered new opportunities in your work?
I definitely have seen that. And one of the things that you mentioned, it just struck me, I was doing notes for this, but you know, I don't really pay attention to my notes. I just start talking off the top of my head. So one of the things I was thinking about when you were asking this question is that it has brought to light many different things in the fight for social justice, especially around domestic violence, sexual assault work, and really understanding that, you know, many communities, especially marginalized communities, communities of color, queer and trans communities, non-English speaking communities, don't access domestic violence and sexual assault services the way that mainstream dominant culture white people access it. So it is very different. And I think that's really important to think about and reflect on, and think about how we may want to change things. So I lead several work groups for the coalition. One is the Communities of Color Task Force. The other is the People of Color Caucus. And I feel like the light that, the other light that has really been shed is that, you know, all of the advocates, so we support advocates who are supporting survivors. So many of the advocates that work with survivors are now, they're at home as well. So they're teaching their kids, they've got their pets and partners and everything else is happening. And so they are really having to shift how they deliver services and how they do their work. And a lot of folks that enter this work also have some kind of trauma history. Not everybody does, but a lot of people do. And so when you think about everything that's going on in this world right now, it's bringing forth a lot of layers of what I call collective trauma. And so I've been reflecting a lot about how are the advocates doing? What kind of support do they need? How can we support them? We just recently at our office, we had a webinar on radical self-care. And I think that this is something that we definitely need to incorporate and teach ourselves and our advocates as well, so that it moves out into the community. I think that's really an important piece. I think people forget that people that do this work, they too also feel a lot of trauma when they're doing this work. And so having a trauma-informed lens and a practice of care is really important.
Can you tell me a little bit about what radical self-care looks like?
Yeah. Radical self-care to me looks like, it does not look like going to a spa or having food that's really small that you can't pronounce. It, to me, it's more about really taking time to reflect and step back from the work that you know is starting to bring you down. If you feel like you can't catch your breath, or you feel like you aren't really listening or fully present for people that are talking to you, or maybe you're feeling more agitated, that's the time when you do that radical self-care, when you step back and you decide, you know what, I'm going to have a big plate of pasta tonight. I'm going to watch a movie where I don't have to think, or I'm just going to go take a nap, you know, just things that kind of recharge you and rejuvenate you so that you can offer that same spirit of care to the people that you're working with.
Thank you for that. What do you find is most commonly misunderstood about domestic violence or DV, and how, you know, we work to prevent it?
That is such a good question, and there's so many ways to answer that. I think some of the most commonly misunderstood things about domestic violence is that it is, you know, using air quotes, it's those people who are in those kinds of relationships. A lot of people think that people don't want to leave those relationships, or that they actually get like a rush from it, or it's exciting, or that these folks aren't smart, or they don't care about their kids, or they're drug addicts, or whatever. You know, the list goes on and on. And these things, I believe, are furthest from the truth, because domestic violence impacts everyone. Every one of us knows somebody who has been impacted or affected by domestic violence, and it crosses all race, ethnicity, income. And I believe strongly that prevention comes through education and the coalition. We definitely support the programs across the state to provide prevention in the schools and in their communities.
So to that end, what would you say is most important for people to learn about DV and the struggle against it?
I would say that the most important thing to learn is that it truly can happen to any one of us. And again, I'll reiterate that all of us know someone, even if we think we don't know anyone, that has been touched by domestic violence in their life. I think that the other really tough struggle is that domestic violence sexual assault programs for forever have really struggled to have stable funding, and they almost rely solely on government funding. So donations and foundation grants mean so much to agencies across the state. So that's really important.
Renee, do you have any closing thoughts? Anything we didn't cover before we wrap up?
Well, I have a closing thought. I really hope that with everything that's happening in the world right now, with the protests and with COVID and everything that's happening, that we are able to not forget that people really matter, and that survivors of domestic violence are really oftentimes very afraid and in some ways even ashamed to come forward or to talk to someone. And it's not their fault. I think our culture and our society lays a lot of victim blaming on people. And I really hope that, that the things that are happening now is really, it's going to shift how we think and how we respect and care for people in this world. So those are my thoughts for today.
Yeah, that's a great sentiment. If our listeners are interested in getting involved in supporting the Coalition Against Domestic Violence or learning more about it, what's the best way for them to do that?
One of the best ways is to contact your local domestic violence sexual assault agency in your area, in your town. And there's a list on our website. If you go to OCADSV.org and you click on there, and you can find a map of all the programs throughout the state. And each program has a volunteer coordinator and program that you can talk with and learn how to get involved with your local DV agency.
Very cool. Well, Renee, thank you so much for speaking with us today. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Althea. I appreciate it.
That was Renee Kim, the Equity and Access Coordinator for the Oregon Coalition Against Domestic and Sexual Violence. More information about the coalition and a directory of resources in your area available online at ocadsv.org. For KBOO News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.